Ola Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes Zayin, 2:16. The principles of this Mishnah are largely the same as the principles laid out in the previous Mishnayos, and really it's just a setup for the last Mishnah of the Perek, and to some degree, that's how the Tos Yontov explains what even we have to have such a Mishnah for in the first place, because there's really nothing new being added in truth. The Mishnah will discuss a mixture, Tarovis, of Kudshe Kudshim, Pigel, and Nosar, along with other generic chulin meat. So what are these things? Just the background. Kudshe Kudshim is sacrificial meat, in the context of our Mishnah here, that came from a chatos or an asham korban, and kudshe kudshim may be eaten only by kohanim, actually only male kohanim inside the azar, the temple courtyard. But the point is, it's permitted to kohanim under certain circumstances. We'll assume that the meat still going to be consumed in this Mishnah is being consumed under those circumstances. The Mishnah also discusses pigel. Pigel is when one is doing one of the four essential procedures of a zevach, of a sacrificial animal, which are the shchita, the slaughtering, the kabbalah, the receiving of the blood, the holacha, the bringing of the blood to the mizbeach, the temple altar, and the zrika, the application of that blood to the altar. Those four steps, shchita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika, are all essential, in as much as if one has even a deviant thought during those processes, so that could make the entire offering totally now puzzle, invalid, and can't be brought. And one of those forbidden thoughts is the thought that's referred to as chutz lizmano, that you intend to have some components of this offering to be consumed either by the people who would eat it, or by the mizbeach, the altar itself, which is, so to speak, consumes the blood, and the emurim, the portions of the offering which are burned upon the altar. So there are certain deadlines when these things have to be brought, each on their own. I don't get into right now so much. But the point is, when the person who is performing the rites of shchita or kabbalah or holacha or zrika on a korban, should he think at that time, oh, I'm going to have some component of this offering to be consumed outside of the proper time, that renders the offering pigel. It's actually a verb, mifagel, in the noun pigel. It's invalidated. It's a term of art. It means just what I just described it as. And pigel korbanos are forbidden for consumption, actually under penalty of kares, of a premature death and severance, spiritual severance. So we're talking about pigel being in the mix of this meat stew. It's forbidden for everyone, kohen and non-kohen alike. We'll also mention nosar. Nosar is the leftover components of sacrificial offerings and beyond their respective deadlines or different deadlines for different things. But once they pass the deadline, they become nosar, leftovers. And nosar is equally forbidden, like pigel, meaning if one does consume nosar, the penalty is karis. In our gears and our mishnayos here, that's all we have. The Bar Tinura also had tamei, meaning sacrificial meats which were rendered tamei. And in truth, usually pigel, nosar, and tamei work as sort of a trio because all of them carry that penalty of karis. So whether or not it's included here in the Mishnah, the principle doesn't change. The point is you have three components which are potentially iser in the mixture, meaning kudshe kudshim, which a non-kohen may not eat, as well as pigel and nosar, which kohen and non-kohen alike may not eat, and they're combining to flavor this meat stew. So like the previous Mishnah, we're going to say, and a couple of previous Mishnayos, we're going to say that according to the Tanna Kamma, they do combine, and therefore, since one of the ingredients is kudshe kudshim, it's usher to non-kohanim, and therefore, if they combine together, so then the mixture becomes forbidden for all non-kohanim, and for kohanim, since kudshe kudshim is permitted to kohanim, the whole mixture is permitted to kohanim, assuming there's a requisite amount of the regular food, the mutter meat, to offset the pigel and nosar in the mix. And Rabbi Shimon once again is going to disagree and say, listen, these are different categories of iser, and therefore they don't combine under any circumstances, and therefore kohen and non-kohen alike may eat them. Okay, now here the Mishnah says inside, chaticha shel kudshe kudshim, one piece of meat which was kudshe kudshim meat, forbidden to non-kohanim, and shel pigel, a piece of pigel meat which is forbidden to everybody, the shel nosar, and a piece of nosar, leftover meat, from Korban, which is forbidden to everybody. Shnezbashlu im hachatichos. They were all cooked together in one big cholent pot, this big meat stew. And there would be enough meat in the stew to offset each of these components individually, but not all of them combined. Asher lazarim umutz lekohanim. Says the Tanakhama here that a non-Kohen can't eat the mixture because the three components combine, whereas a Kohen could eat the mixture. Of course, that would mean that the numbers have to work out, that the pigle and nosar are less, let's call it, than a 60th. They're not nos and tam, if that's the case, or 60th if it's min v'mino, in the mix to make it permitted to a Kohen. Rabbi Shimon's matir lazarim v'lekohanim. Rabbi Shimon says, in all events, the mixtures permitted to Kohen and non-Kohen alike, because each of the different categories of Isser do not combine. And again, there's really very little, if any, Chiddush in this Mishnah relative to the previous Mishnayos. And Tosfos Yom Tov, as I said before, says the whole point of this Mishnah really is just to introduce the last Mishnah of the Perek, Yud Zayin, which does have, builds on these principles to some degree, and actually has a new Chiddush inside of it.